Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
This morning, about changing your expectation. Changing your expectation. Go with me in your Bibles, if you will, to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 17. I've come to realize that usually people get what they expect. People will live up to or down to your expectation of them. People usually, even when you come to church, many times get what you expect. That if you expect to find fault, then you will find it, because there's plenty to go around. Why? Because you're dealing with people. Or if you expect to see Jesus, you can certainly see that. So we've got to change our expectations. How many have ever said this, that you, something has happened and you said something along the lines as, well, I expected as much. I expected as much. And I've told this story before, but I've had to change my expectations. Many of you know that there is nothing mechanical about me. That I can't build anything if you want it to be square or anything else right. You don't want me to do it. Matter of fact, somebody, I was talking with Jim Hajak just the other night, and I was telling him something I needed done, and he said, oh, you could do that. All you got to do is take four by fours and put it up there and just put, I was like, no, I want it to be straight. You know, the old adage, you measure twice and cut once. I don't care. I can measure 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times. I'm still going to cut several times, and usually it becomes too short by the time I get through with it. And I would say things like, anytime that I would start a small project, it would always turn into a project and not just a little task. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. And I would say things like, I should have expected it. I would say things like, I can't do anything without it turning into a major project. And so I've had to change my vocabulary because I begin to expect that. And if you're not careful, you begin to expect the worst out of people instead of expecting the best. And you begin to expect the worst out of situations and circumstances. And you begin to expect the worst even out of God. So we've got to change our expectation. Now bump your neighbor and say, he's talking to you right now, so listen up. How many be willing? Because I'll be the first to say, I'm not there. I'm still working on changing my expectation. I have to work on it constantly. I wished it was something, you take a pill and it's over with, but it doesn't work that way. I wished I could say, today, bless God, I've conquered it and I have changed my expectation. But you know what? Tomorrow's coming. And tomorrow, I've got to do the same thing. It is a constant battle because we're not wired that way normally. We're wired, the devil wants you to recognize or to understand, to put it into your psyche that things are just naturally going to go bad. Well, but Pastor, I tried that positive thinking thing and I tried that expecting the right things, but it never goes my way. It doesn't matter. You've got to change your expectation. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing. Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing of the word of God. Well, Pastor, I've read the Bible through and through and I still don't have any faith. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing of the word of God. And that's when you also pray and say, God, help my unbelief. All right? So let's get into it. In the book of 1 Kings, chapter 17, reading from the New King James Version, if you have a mobile device, you can go online and go to YouVersion, youversion.com, which is a Bible. Look at live events, do a search for CRCOG, and you'll have the same notes that are up on the screen today. The Bible says this, and as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, as the Lord God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. How many would say that she had an expectation? I'm going to go in, I'm going to make a little fire. I don't know what kind of fire you can make with two little sticks. If it's my last meal, I'm going to burn the whole house down. I'm going to make this little fire with these two sticks, and I'm going to make me and my son a little pone of cornbread. She's probably from the South. Little pone of cornbread, and then we're going to be done. And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me." You know he's probably Pentecostal. Because only a Pentecostal preacher has enough guts or gumption to say that. Bless God. I know you're hungry. But bring me something first. And afterwards, after I get through eating, then you make you and your son something else. And so after you make some for yourself and your son. "For thus says the Lord." Oh, here we go. "For thus says the Lord God of Israel. The bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth." Hallelujah. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah. And she and he and her household ate for many days. Hallelujah. He ate for many days. Come on, somebody. Verse 15 and 16. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke to Elijah. Father, I pray that you bless the reading of your word. Grant me that which makes preaching easy and effective. God, give us an ear to hear the message. And Lord, let us disregard the messenger. Because the messenger is flesh, but the message is divine. In the name of Jesus we pray, and the church said, amen. So here we have the story of the widow of Zarephath in 1 Kings chapter 17. And we just read the story that Elijah came by because he was in, if you read, don't do it right now, but earlier in chapter 17, he was by the brook Cherith, and the brook dried up. And the Bible said that God caused the ravens to bring him food in the morning and food in the afternoon. And he drank from the brook, but yet the brook dried up. And so let me tell you something. That in order to change your expectation, usually something around you has to change. People, I say this many times, but people don't usually change because they see the light. But most of the time they feel the heat. And when they feel the heat, they decide that something's got to change in their life. So, first point is this. A crisis is a time to learn, not a time to lose. A crisis is a time to learn. That when you get into a crisis, we always think that a crisis it means loss. No, a crisis means it's a time to learn. That I'm going to learn something from what I'm going through. Because we know that greater is he that's in us than he that stands against us. Can you say amen? Now, Elijah didn't understand at first why the brook ran dry and why the raven didn't bring him the fresh meat every day. He was trusting God during this famine, and now it seems as though that the God that was supplying his need, now it seems like that God is gone, or the source dried up. The dry place in Elijah's life proved to be one of the greatest and most learning experiences of his life. You know why? Because here, he learned that God was not ending his source of supply. He was just changing it. And some of us think that God is ending his source in our life when he's just changing it. How many people, I know that there have been people who have spoke into my life, but for whatever reason, that they quit speaking into my life and somebody else came into my life to speak into it. It wasn't that God was ending it. It was the fact that God was changing it. It's happened to me that people I used to speak into, that I don't have any more to speak into them, God had to change it. And so the same thing with Elijah. Elijah's source was changed, or the supply was changed, but the source was the same. Can you say amen? So the widow, likewise, was learning a great lesson also, that her supply had run out also. She soon learned the miracle working power of God. The greatest miracle would not be the miraculous supply of meal and oil. This supply would be gone after the famine was over. The greatest miracle would occur that in her faith that caused her to change from a loser's mentality to a winner's mentality. That caused her to change her focus, that caused her to change her expectation. Well, I'm just going to go in here and die. And some people have given up without the good sense to lay down. As long as there's breath in your body, you ain't got to give up. As long as there's breath in your body, you don't have to give up on whatever God has promised you. You keep fighting. Well, preacher, what happens if I don't get it even though I fight? Well, you're still fighting. You're still gaining something out of the fight. If I'm going to go out, I want to go down swinging instead of just sitting there letting the devil run roughshod over me. I would rather go down swinging in my faith, go down believing God. Somebody said, but pastor, you've had a couple of brothers and who have died from different diseases. What is, I don't care. I still know that God heals. I still know that I still believe that he did. I don't know why he didn't, but I know that he does. You got to understand that you got to have another level of faith when you pray and it doesn't work out the way you wanted to pray. Let me tell you something. God said all things. All things. He didn't say just something. All things work together for the good, not just my good. Oh, help me somebody. You gotta understand that during the crisis, the truth about supply was revealed to this woman in Zarephath. Alright? Patience, oh, there's that ugly word. Wish you wouldn't use that four-letter word here in the house of God. Patience will force the truth to reveal itself. Patience will force the truth to reveal itself. Let's go a little bit further. There's something about a crisis that makes people reach for information that they never reached for before. You know, you never read a book on losing weight until the doctor said, if you don't lose some weight, you're going to die. Right? You never reached for information that you didn't know. You never reached for information until a problem or a crisis arose. Now, you know, Pastor John told you that we were riding in that in the parade last night, and I was one of the Harley riders, and needless to say, I have a blister. Matter of fact, I have four on the inside of my leg. Glory to God. And sometime this morning, I woke up at 5:30 and there was a huge blister there and two or three other small ones. Now our leader, our glorious leader, Jim Hayjack, said, man, I meant to call you last night and told you what to put on that. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate that. I told him the old is supposed to teach the young. May 1,000 fleas find their home. I'm kidding. But you know what I did today? I reached and did a Google on whether I should bust that blister or not. He said I could do either one. I decided I would. Anyway, where's Carol at when I need her? But that's what happens is when you're in a crisis, it causes you to reach for information. And the problem with so many of us is we exhaust all the other avenues and then we reach for God. The greatest gifts from God were given to get us through crisis. Grace. It was given to you because it means that you do not get what you don't deserve. Right? We do get what we don't deserve. We get grace. Grace was given because of a crisis that we were undone without God. And then we get mercy when we don't get what we do deserve. Thank God for grace and thank God for mercy. The Bible says, seek and you shall find, ask and it shall be given, knock and the door shall be opened. But the problem is we want to find without seeking. And we want to be given without asking. And we want to open without knocking. seeking. A crisis will cause you to seek. It'll cause you to ask. It'll cause you to knock. That's what a crisis is. Some people would never pray without crisis. A crisis will cause men to invent. Right? Medical discoveries are a result of personal tragedies. Farm machinery is invented because of hard work and slow production. Can I tell you that you will never find the fourth man in the fire unless you've been in the fiery furnace? Help me, somebody. That in the den of lions, you'll find the angel of the Lord. In the battlefield, you'll find God's guidance system. In the funeral procession, you'll find the giver of life. And in the leper's colony, you'll find the great healer. But you got to go through something in order to find something. Because when we're going through something is when we really look for something. When we don't need it, we don't look for it. How many knows that there are things all over your house that you can't find because you ain't looking for it? But when you get ready to look for it, it seems like it's hiding from you, but you don't give up, especially when you know it's important to your cause. It's important to your day. Help me, Jesus. You've got to go through the valley to find the lily of the valley. You've got to go through the desert if you want to see the rose of Sharon. You've got to go into the midnight if you're going to see the bright and the morning star. And you'll never get thirsty, or you'll never drink from the well that never runs dry until you get thirsty. So we've got to do it. We've got to do it. You know, you've got to be sick to get an appointment with the great physician. Point number two is this. My need indicates that I need to change something. Need or pain is not your enemy. It is just the result, or it is just the evidence that an enemy exists. Did you hear that part? It is just evidence that an enemy exists. Pain, matter of fact, is your helper. Pain lets you know something's wrong. Last night, when my legs were heating up, I knew something was wrong. I was like, Lord Jesus. Woo. I wish I'd have had something. Woo, glory. Something, man. Just help me, Jesus. Pain helps you know something. If you didn't feel pain, then you'd leave your hand there. You know, my little brother has neuropathy in his feet, and Brother Ken Lee, who will more than likely sit right here on the second row, he had neuropathy in his feet and burned a hole in his foot one day because he could not feel that there was an exhaust leak coming in on his foot. That's what pain does. If you can feel the pain, then it causes you to change. My need or my pain indicates that I need to change something. Elijah had to change his supply. The brook dried up. The raven quit coming. So something had to change. Right? The widow of Zarephath had to change something too. She didn't have a faith talk. She said, you can't have a cake. We're going to eat it and die. That ain't faith talk. That's defeat talk. Well, but Brother Reed, you need to be realistic. I'm not talking about not being realistic. See, I'm not one of those guys who are going to tell you that say you're not sick. You know, I knew one guy, he said, I'm going to put on my tombstone. I told y'all I was sick. I'm not one of those guys. But what I am saying is say that, yes, I may be sick, but I know the healer. Is I may be sick, but my Redeemer liveth. Is I may be sick, but I know that God heals. And I know that he can heal me. Can you say amen? She now understood that God didn't want her supply for himself. Now check this out. Elijah offered her something. She now understood that God didn't want her supply for himself. He only wanted to use what she had to make some more. Oh, let that sink in. She wanted to use what she, God wanted to use what she had to make some more. Some people need to change their supply. Some people need to understand that some people need to change your job. Now listen to me. Don't you leave the one you got until you get another one. Help me, somebody. Well, the Lord told me to quit. Probably he didn't. You just fed up with your boss. That's your problem. You're tired. I had a 27-year-old tell me one day, Pastor, I'm just tired of working. Ooh, the spirit of slap come on me. Like, boy, you better fuck up. But see, 27, you got about another 40 years before you can quit. Come on, somebody. I'm just tired of working. I want my wife. That's what he said. I want my wife to work. Ooh. And the man rose up in me like, dude, you're about to get a beat down. You're the pastor. That's right. He'll forgive me. Matter of fact, I think God told me to beat you down. But anyway, let me move on. Some need to change your friends. Look at your friend and said, I'm just saying. Because sometimes your friends bring you down. Sometimes you just need to change friends. Or maybe if you don't need to change some friends, you need to add some friends. Because everybody needs somebody who's going to add to them instead of just subtract. Some people need to change your investments. God's supply will not come unless you change your expectation. You're wanting God to come. You're wanting God to pull through for you. You're wanting God to come on the scene, but you're not expecting God to do anything. Some think that when you give to God, listen. Go ahead, write down my email address because I know I'm going to get some emails on this one. Go ahead and write it down. It's Pastor Roger at CrystalRiverCOG.com. Right. Can't get anybody there. Go Pastor Steve. CrystalRiverCOG.com. I'm going to mess with some people right here. But it's all right. Now here's what I want you to do because I'm going to mess with some folks right now. Oh, you already got it up there. Now everybody's already ready. Some think that when you give to God, you should not expect a return. Well, bless God, we don't. You're right, we don't. But if I'm going to give, and God said I can expect, then why don't I expect? Right? Why do we give to God? Why do we give to God? Well, because God called it. No, he's not. Why do we give to God? Well, because God's in short supply of some cash and needs an extra offering. So today we're going to take up four offerings. How many have been in one of them churches? We're not one of them. I've been in a church, they took up four offerings. I've been in it. I was at a funeral, they took up three offerings. That ain't no lie. And they jacked me up on the piano. I was on the piano and they wouldn't leave until they raised some money. I was like, oh, it's like went on for 15 minutes. I was like, Lord, I'll just give it. You just shut up. Matter of fact, that's exactly what happened. He said, Pastor Reed, you pastor a big church, which made me mad. You pastor a big church, you ought to give the rest of them. I said, I'll give the rest of you. Shut up and sit down. No, you didn't, Pastor. Yes, I did, just like that. If you shut up and sit down, I'll give it. But he shut up and sit down. God isn't broke. God's storehouse isn't low. And let me go one step further. God does not need your money. But here's the answer to the question that God said. Don't get mad at me. God said in Luke 6:38, he said, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will I cause men to give unto your bosom. By giving, we are activating this promise. So, you know, when I give, I don't give just to get. When I gave my offering today, when I gave my tithe today, I'm not saying, well, oh, glory to God. But I am expecting. Why? Because God is truth. Help me, Jesus. Let me go a little bit further with this thing because I'm going to mess with some of y'all. All right? God's cycle of abundance is like a cycle of rain. Some people can't get any abundance because God can't get nothing out of you. By giving, we're activating. God's cycle of abundance is like giving rain. When we give, I expect God to give back. When I start struggling financially, and here's a clue, that I've done my part, that's where most people miss it. Well, I give in the offering, but you still got to manage your money. And when I start getting low, when I start struggling, I'll take out my checkbook and I'll say, God, I bring you in remembrance of your word. I'm a tither. I'm a giver. And according to your word, in the name of Jesus, I'm expecting a return on what I've given. And you may say, well, bless God, I don't believe that. Well, then don't, because it's only for believers. The clouds give and it falls on the earth. Plants give back. Evaporation starts taking place. Rivers, lakes, oceans start giving. And the whole earth begins to obey and glorify God. And it starts giving back to the clouds. And the clouds get full and it gives back to the earth. Listen to me. God, well, Pastor, should then I expect a return when I give to God? The answer is yes. I just don't believe that. Well, let me ask you this. Do you expect power when you fast and pray? I do. If I'm going to fast and pray, if I ain't going to eat, I'm expecting some God to do something. If I'm going to close my pie hole, I want God to do something, right? If I pray, I expect God to do something when I pray. And therefore, if I give, I expect God to do something when I give. Do you expect healing when you pray in the prayer of faith? I do. Do you expect the gifts of the Spirit when you are full of the Holy Ghost? I do. Do you expect mercy when you sin? Yes, Jesus, thank you. Do you expect grace? Do you expect salvation when you repent? You should. Do you expect heaven when you die? Yes. Yes. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Father. Man, if this life I only have hope, I'm above all men most miserable, but I've got hope beyond this life. I've got hope beyond today. If I die today, I know that my next breath will be with the Father. Glory to God. I expect, but yet when it comes to our giving, we don't expect. Change your expectation. Do you expect blessings when you send up praise? I do. I expect when I praise God, I expect that God will just come down to where I am. Why? Because His Word says it. His Word said, I inhabit the praises of my people. So when I praise, I expect God to come. It's the Word. It's the same way with my giving. If I give, I expect that God to give back, press down, shaking the other, run over. Glory to God. Then you should expect provision when you obey God's laws of supply. He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You know, there was a boy. There was a little boy playing football. And he wasn't playing for the Gators. Might have been playing for FSU, I think. But his father died, and he missed the week of practice before the homecoming. The boy showed up for the game, but the coach wouldn't let him play. The team was losing. And during the last half, the coach decided to put the boy in. And the boy played like never before. He scored touchdown after touchdown. He scored. The score was tied and the winning field goal was kicked. And the coach said, you have never played like that well before. What's the difference? Here's what he replied. He said, well, you know, my father passed away last week. He said, yeah, I'm aware of that. He said, what you didn't know was my father was blind. And today he got to see me play. Come on, somebody. What do you expect? He got to see me play. Let's not forget who our Father is. Glory to God. God is looking down on this game of life, and He's not delighted when we have to do without. If you, Matthew chapter 7, if you, being earthly fathers, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more should our heavenly Father know how to give great gifts to us? How many of you, if you've done this, let me just help you. You're a sick kid. How many of you ever looked at your child and go, oh, I'm so glad that they're doing without. So I'm loving watching them struggle. Absolutely. Oh, I just enjoy it. You're a sick puppy. Nobody wants to watch their kids struggle. How do you think? Do you think God wants to watch us struggle? He's not delighted when we go without. He's not delighted that when we suffer. He created us in His image. He made us so that we can win. He gave us Jesus. He gave us His provision. He gave us His promise. He gave us the Holy Spirit. He delights in our winning. John chapter 3 says, beloved, or chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. Hear this principle. You'll never receive what you're unwilling to pursue. We must change our expectations. What are you pursuing? I'll give it to you one more time. I don't think I have it on my notes. You will not ever get or receive what you're unwilling to pursue. Let me give you this principle. The pursuit equals desire. Some of us pursue things, or some of us desire things, but we don't want to pursue it, and it's not going to happen. But if you will pursue it, it will happen. I read something this morning. Let me see if I can remember. I downloaded it. It said, there's no help for those who are unwilling to learn. But you can't stop somebody who's determined to learn. Right? So we've got to understand. We've got to be willing to learn from God. We've got to be willing to pursue God. Hallelujah. Because God can. I'm almost done. Help me close whatever your name is. Psalm 78 says, yea, they spake against God and said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? The Lord heard this foolishness and was wroth and slew the fastest of them. He smote the choicest of men because of this ignorant theology of doubt. Can God? God can. I want you to hear me. God can. You can add in whatever you want. God can. Well, then why doesn't He? I don't know, but God can. Maybe it's because of our expectation, but God can. God proved to Israel that God can spread a table in a desert. God proved to Israel that God can give shoes without a shoe store. God can provide water without a hydrant. God can give meat without a meat market. God can give light without electricity. Jesus proved that God can give fish without a fish market. That He can give bread without a bakery. That He can give wine without a vineyard. That God can give healing without medicine. That God can raise dead without resuscitator. That God can cross the sea without a boat. That He can enter the room without a door. That He can speak a foreign language without a book. He can give transportation without an automobile. God can. Change your expectation. If God can turn bones into an army, what do you think He can do with your offerings? What do you think He can do with your faith? If your marriage is failing, it indicates that needs to change something you're doing. If your business is failing, it indicates that you need to change something you're doing. And if your heavenly supply is lacking, maybe you need to change your expectation. Put faith back into your giving. God can. God can. He can save the lost. He can heal the sick. He can. 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 Would you just lift up your hand now? We're going to pray here in a moment. I know it's supposed to be done. The family focus hour starting.
Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Maybe you need to pray, Lord, help my unbelief. Lord, we believe. Hallelujah. Come on, let just faith arise in this place this morning. Let the Holy Spirit just deal with you individually. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Come on, stand to your feet.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. and again in the evening at 6 p.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.